Welcome to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top stories and the most fascinating comment threads on Hacker News. Today is March 4th, 2026, and this is episode number 325. I am Sarah, and I am here with my co-host Mike.
Hey everyone, we have got a really packed show for you today. We are looking at a huge hardware drop from Apple that has the HN community completely divided, a slightly terrifying interactive mop of surveillance cameras, some major leadership drama in the open-weight AI space, a practical guide to fine-tuning those exact AI models locally, and finally, a blast from the past examining a specific rhetorical trick used by Paul Graham.
Let us kick things off with the hardware news. Apple just announced the MacBook Neo. This is an all-new 13-inch laptop, and the headline here is the price. It starts at just $599, or $499 for education. It has a liquid retina display, an aluminum body, and it comes in some new colors like blush, indigo, and citrus, alongside the classic silver. It's powered by the A18 Pro chip, which is an interesting choice, and it promises 16 hours of battery life.
Right, the A18 Pro is what we usually see in the iPhone Pro lineup, so putting it in a Mac is a fascinating move. It has 2 performance cores and 4 efficiency cores, plus a 5-core GPU. Apple is claiming it is up to 50% faster for everyday tasks compared to the best-selling PC with an Intel Core Ultra 5. It's fanless, completely silent, and honestly, on paper, a $599 MacBook sounds like the holy grail for students and casual users. But as you can imagine, the Hacker News comments immediately zeroed in on the compromises Apple had to make to hit that price point.
Exactly. A user named The Optimist put together a massive list of differences between the Neo and the MacBook Air, and it is eye-opening. The biggest sticking point, to the surprise of absolutely nobody, is that the base model only has 8 GB of unified memory. In 2026, with macOS 15, people are furious about this.
The memory debate in the comments is intense. One user pointed out that macOS 15 uses about 5 GB on startup without any apps open, meaning you're instantly swapping to the SSD. But then another user pushed back, saying macOS aggressively caches things into RAM, so looking at memory used is the wrong metric. You have to look at memory pressure. A user named Intenex had a great comment about running 3 8-GB M1 MacBook Airs for development, running VS Code, Claude Code, and dozens of Chrome tops, and said they never felt slow, drawing less than 10 watts of power.
It is the eternal Apple RAM debate, but there are other wild compromises on the Neo. There's no MagSafe, it only has 2 USB-C ports, and here's the kicker. One of them is limited to USB 2.0 speeds of just 480 megabits per second, and there are no external markings to tell you which port is the fast one.
That drove the commenters crazy. A user named Geobox pointed out that people are definitely going to plug their external SSDs into the slow port by accident. And if you use the fast port for charging, you're stuck with USB 2.0 for your peripherals. It's a very un-Apple-like user experience quirk. There's also no Thunderbolt support, so you cannot drive a studio display. The webcam is 1080p but does not support center stage, and there's no keyboard backlighting. It really is a stripped-down machine.
Still, for $599, it is going to sell millions. But speaking of things that are everywhere, let us move on to our second story. A user posted a link to DeFlock, which is an interactive map of Flock cameras.
For those who do not know, Flock Safety makes automated license plate readers, or ALPRs, that are used by police departments, HOAs, and private businesses all over the country. They essentially track vehicle movements, and this map aims to crowdsource their locations. The map is honestly pretty staggering when you zoom in on certain areas.
It really is. A user named Snail Mailman commented that the map is quite scary, noting that it might technically be possible to route a drive around them, but if you take the most convenient path between any 2 points, at least one camera will spot you. And of course, the open source community immediately had a solution. Another user explained how to download OpenStreetMap data, extract the surveillance locations, and create a custom turn-by-turn navigation profile to physically route your car around known ALPRs.
That is the most Hacker News response ever. But the threat quickly evolved into a massive debate about privacy versus security. You have the classic nothing-to-hide argument popping up, with people pointing out that Flock data has been instrumental in solving violent crimes. But then you have users pointing out the flaws. One commenter mentioned seeing police initiate felony stops, where people are pulled out of cars at gunpoint based on a Flock hit, only to find out the person they actually wanted was not in the car.
And the data retention is what really bothers people. It's not just that a camera sees you run a red light, it's that your daily movements are aggregated into a centralized database that can be queried retroactively. As one user put it, Dragnet surveillance is indiscriminate investigation at scale. It's a really sobering threat about how quickly and quietly this infrastructure has been deployed in our neighborhoods.
Let's pivot to some major news in the AI space. Simon Willison published a blog post titled "Something is Afoot in the Land of Qwen." If you've been following open-weight models, you know that Alibaba's Qwen Creethrit 5 family has been absolutely dominating the charts lately. But Simon is reporting that the core team behind it might be falling apart.
Yes, it started with a tweet from Junyoung Lin, the lead researcher and key figure in pushing Alibaba to release their models as open-weight. He just tweeted, "Me stepping down, by my beloved Qwen." According to Chinese tech media, this triggered an emergency all-hands meeting led by Alibaba's CEO. The rumor is that a new researcher hired from Google's Gemini team was put in charge of Qwen, leading to a mass exodus.
The list of people reportedly resigning is basically the all-star roster of the Qwen team. The lead for code development, the lead for post-training and the instruct models, the core contributor to their vision models, they are all supposedly out. Simon points out how tragic this is because the Qwen 3.5 models are exceptionally good. They released a flurry of sizes from a massive 397 billion parameter MoE model all the way down to a 0.8 billion parameter model.
The comments on Hacker News really validate how good these models are. People are running the 35 billion parameter model locally on Macs and finding it incredibly capable for agentic coding tasks. But there was a really funny quirk mentioned in the thread. A user named Miss Gnome said they were using the 122 billion parameter model, and halfway through following detailed instructions, the model would just decide it would be simpler to not do what was asked, and it would strip out all the infrastructure the user requested.
I loved that comment. And someone else replied that Anthropic's Claude Opus does the exact same thing. It second-guesses its own reasoning and then takes a shortcut to save time. It is hilarious that as these models get smarter, they are basically developing senior engineer fatigue, where they look at a complex feature request and just decide, no, we are not building that. It is too complicated.
It really is. But for those who do want to build with these models, our fourth story is perfectly timed. It is the Qwen 3.5 fine-tuning guide from the Unsloth documentation. Unsloth has become the go-to tool for local fine-tuning because it makes the process significantly faster and uses way less VRAM.
The numbers are wild. Unsloth makes Qwen 3.5 train 1.5 times faster and uses 50% less VRAM. You can fine-tune the 800 million parameter model on just 3 gigabytes of VRAM and the 9 billion parameter model on 22 gigabytes. They even have support for vision fine-tuning and reinforcement learning.
The discussion on this post took a really fascinating turn into edge computing. A user named Crossacra mentioned deploying fine-tuned 7 billion parameter Qwen models on NVIDIA Jetson hardware for industrial inspection. They said the key is using LoRa fine-tuning, so the model fits in unified memory, and they are doing continuous inference on a Jetson Orin at under 15 watts of power.
That blew my mind. 15 watts. But another user asked a great question. Why use an LLM for industrial inspection, where latency matters more than accuracy? The example given was fruit sorting on a fast-moving conveyor belt. If you have a hard budget of 10 milliseconds to respond, and you need to sort out defective items, why use a language model?
The answer is that they are using vision language models. The model analyzes the image and outputs text and context that drives intelligent decisions. And the reason for doing it locally on a 15-watt device instead of the cloud is reliability. If you introduce an external cloud dependency to a factory floor, you guarantee downtime outside of your control. Plus, a 7 billion parameter model is fast enough, and the high nines of fruit organization are usually not worth running a 400 billion parameter cloud model just to catch the last 3 bad apples.
It is such a great look into how this technology is moving out of the chatbot phase and into real physical industrial processes.
Absolutely. All right, let us wrap up today with a classic Hacker News palate cleanser. This is a blog post from 2010 by James Summers titled "It Turns Out." It is a critique of a very specific rhetorical hack used by writers, and specifically Paul Graham.
I love this post. Summers noticed that Paul Graham frequently uses the phrase "it turns out" to bridge logical gaps in his essays. Summers argues that "it turns out" does the work for the writer that the writer should be doing themselves. It is a way to make a blind assertion sound like a dispassionate, hard-won discovery.
Right. Summers gives the example of someone making a wild claim, like Cambridge, Massachusetts being the intellectual capital of the world. If you just state that, people will argue. But if you say, "I kept searching for the Cambridge of New York, and it turned out it was an hour uptown by air," suddenly the reader is disarmed. The phrase implies that the author used to believe something else, did rigorous research, and was surprised by the result.
The Hacker News comments on this were fantastic. Someone brought up a great quote from Douglas Adams, who also loved the phrase. Adams joked that it allows you to make swift, authoritative connections between randomly unconnected statements without explaining your source, suggesting your flimsy urban mythology is actually groundbreaking research.
It is so true. Another commenter pointed out that it is also a very polite way to correct someone without making them feel stupid. Instead of saying you are wrong, the sun is actually white, you say you would think the sun is yellow, but it turns out without the atmosphere, it is actually white. It puts you and the person you are correcting on the same side, discovering this tricky fact together.
It is a brilliant little observation about language, and it turns out it's a great way to end the podcast.
I see what you did there. That is all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening to HN Pod. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or leave us a review.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. Until then, keep building and keep reading the comments.